Okay, welcome. Sorry, I'm a bit late. A good Gebenchtyar, a good new year for everyone. We're holding over here, welcome to Mashiach Matters class. We are holding over here at the Pasuk. We're starting a new Pasuk today, chapter Parshas Toldos, chapter 25, verse 30. Perek Chafei, Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov. Esav says to Yaakov, Haliteni min ha'odem ha'odem hazeh. Fill me up, load me up from this red, red dish. Ki oyef anoichi, because I'm tired. Al kein kader shemoy edem. Simply means I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I need to eat. Also, I'm tired and I'm exhausted. I can't even pick up a spoon to eat or even, you know, gulp down the plate. I need you to pour it into my mouth like one is feeding a camel. Load me up with this red stuff. Therefore, they called him Red. Now, we learned already earlier in Chumash that Esav was born with a red pigment. His body was a reddish color. But I guess they didn't call him Edom yet. But when they saw that this redness, this blood color that's on him, is beginning to take, have an impact on his actions as well, that when he sees red food, he gets extremely excited. And not only does he get excited to eat the food, but he refers to it as red food. Instead of saying, give me lentils, he says, give me the red stuff. They called him Edom. And I guess they realized that there is something in him that is associated with the red. Now, there's an interesting, fascinating medrash over here. Min ha'odom ha'odom, from the red. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. There's an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Minei, from it, umin patrune, and from its, from the red and from its patron, which they explained from the master. That means I want to take this red from you and from your master. That means hinted to in Esav's words was, I want to take what's yours and what belongs to your God. We know that Esav, Edom, is later translated as the Romans, and they were the ones who destroyed the temple. So when he said from it and from its master, that means give me, I wanna take what's yours. That's one opinion. I mean, there's already a hint over here that he wants the destruction of the temple. Shlakish, again, not necessarily that he knows this. This is, again, all contained in the words. We know that the biblical figures, especially the biblical figures, when they spoke, you know, being that they were the story, there was great, there was much more meaning to what was going through their mouth than what they themselves might have been conscious of. Rish Lakish says, Mineyum and Dechvase, from it and from someone who's similar to it. And as the commentaries explain, it means from you and from people that are similar to you, meaning righteous people like you. What is that referring to? What we read yesterday in the Machzor, in Yom Kippur, we read the horrific story of the brutal murder of the great sages of Israel, the 10 martyrs that were killed by the Romans. So he's saying, give me from you, Adam, Adam, and someone that's similar to you. That's the double language. Either it's referring to the Holy Temple, according to one opinion, or it's referring to you and from your God, or from you and from your buddies, means I'm taking from you, but I also want your buddies, which refers to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and all those great sages that were horrifically tortured to death. And then the Medrash continues. Hu Adom, he himself is red, as we spoke earlier, that his body was red when he was born. V'tafshiloi Adom, and his food is red. He has a red dish. His dish is red. In other words, he gravitates to red food because it speaks to him. And it's interesting to say that if we say Rome is Edom, we see that tomato sauce is a very, very, very intrinsically related to the Italians, an Italian dish, which later turns into pizza and to all other kinds of dishes of red sauce. And that's related to Edom. Just an interesting observation. Arzay Aduma, his land is red. I guess there's some kind of redness to the land of Edom. So we're going to see what's the land of Edom. See, the initial biblical Edom is a land that's right next to Israel. And it's not Rome. We're soon going to see about it. But as we're going to see, the people of Edom later migrated and they became the founders of the Roman Empire. So which one is it referring to that it's red? The land of Edom, where the initial descendants of Esav lived, or the land of Edom that is later become the land of Edom, the seat of Edom, which is Rome? Is there anything about Italy that makes its soil red? I don't know. Gibor Avadumim, his mighty men are red. Levush Avadumim, he wears red clothing, which the Mefarshim say, I think the Maral of Prague. Let me just check if it's the Maral who says that. No. Hold on. Oh yeah, the Abarbanel, which we're soon going to see the teachings of the Abarbanel on this is very fascinating. He says the Roman Caesars used to wear red, a lot of red in their clothing. That's what it says. His clothing is red. Perea memenoi edoim. Perea memenoi edoim. He will pay back. He will pay him back. He will be punished. Edom, the red one. Again, I think the meaning is, I didn't get a chance to look it up in the Midrash. In general, I want to excuse myself. I didn't have a chance because of Yom Kippur yesterday and the whole situation that I didn't really get a chance to prepare this properly. So I'm just a little bit on the spot. I think means that in this case God is referred to as the red one taking vengeance of Edom. Bilavush Edom, wearing a red garment. Good. And then the Medrash says, where do we see that he is red? It says the first one went out and he's red. His land is red. It says Sedei Edom, the field of Edom. His mighty men are red. It says Mogen Giboirayhu Madom, the Pasuk. Levush Avadumim, his clothing are red. Shenemar Anche Chayil Mitoloim. Armies, men dressed in red. Pareim Emenu Edoim Doiditzach Va'odoim. Okay, Ma'o. It says about God, my beloved one is red. Belevush Edoim, in a red garment, as it says, when Hashem is wearing a red garment, as it says, why are your clothing red? That's the Midrash. What I'd like to share with you is a passage from Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel, this is an Abarbanel, not here, is Pirush on Isaiah, Yeshaya. And he's really trying to trace where the Edom, descendants of Edom, and we know the Jewish people were going to be subjugated to the kingdom of Edom. which is descendants of Esav. That's what's described in that whole war between Yaakov and Esav already in the womb. The temple was destroyed by the Romans, and for most of our exiles, the Jews were subjugated by various different European nations who were the practiced Christianity. Now, the sages have always said that Edom is Rome, and Christianity began, I mean, it started in Israel, but it really took hold in Rome, and that's where it is till today, its seat. That's where its root is. And the sages have always said that that's Edom. And therefore, all the prophecies that speak about God's destruction of Edom and then the rebuilding of the third temple is of some kind of a destruction to the descendants of Esav, all in from Roman, related also to the Christian faith. So it took a lot of guts, I guess, for a rabbi who was one of the people that was expelled, left. The Barbanel was a great minister in the Spanish palace by King Ferdinand and Isabella, who later expelled the Jews, famous 1492 expulsion, and brought untold suffering upon the Jewish people. Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel was one of those that were kicked out of Spain. And he's describing in this passage, I mean, he's not talking about his suffering, he's written about that in other places, but over here he's describing the Christian world. And he says something interesting. He says, there's a pasuk that says that Upiduya Hashem Yeshuvan, those who are redeemed from God will return. Pasuk Yeshaya, those who are redeemed from Hashem will return. Uba'u Tzion Berina, they will come to Zion, they will come back to Tzion with a song. V'simchas Oylam Al Roisham, an eternal joy on their heads. Sasoin V'simcha Yasigu, they will finally achieve happiness and joy. V'nas Yagain V'anacha, and all kinds of sigh and sadness and sigh will depart from them forever, will escape from them. So he says that the main idea, theme of that verse, of Duya Yashem Yeshuvun, those that are redeemed by God, is emphasizing that the future redemption that we're waiting for right now is not going to happen through this temple. The third temple is going to be built, and the Jewish people are going to be redeemed by God. It's not going to be a redemption that is done with permission of the nations. It's not like the when we came up after the first exile, the Babylonian exile, the Jewish people returned to the land of Israel under the permission of the Persian emperor, and they built a temple with his blessings. This is not going to be in this case. In other words, the Balfour Declaration of Israel belonging to the Jewish people is not the redemption. It's not the redemption, even though it's definitely a step leading up to the redemption. But that's not where we're going to take our power, where the Jewish people are going to have their leadership role. Not going to come from there. The whole world is going to witness that it's coming from God Himself. So there won't be any like, okay, so that I've given you your strength. It's something that is directly coming from Hashem. And he says, therefore, when the verse says, that's why it's called Duye Hashem, those that are redeemed by God are going to return. And it says we're going to return with a song and a simchas olam, and a either everlasting joy or a worldly joy. Olam can mean world. So he says, Rina, the song is because the joy of the future redemption is going to encompass with it, within it. The third temple is going to encompass with it, within it, the is going to encompass within it the greatness of the first temple and the second temple and the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, it says that Shlomo HaMelech had, it says, L'shmoya el arina ve'la tefila, to listen to the rina, to the song. So that's referring to the joy of the first temple. Simchas Olam is referring to the second temple, which was more of a physical type of a joy. Olam means world. But what's going to achieve in the third temple, which wasn't there in the first two, is the latter half of the verse. Sasein v'simcha yasigo. Joy and hadness, gladness, they will achieve. V'nos yagna v'anacha, because in all the other redemptions, it involved still a lingering oppression and wars and other things that were still going on. But once the third temple is built, there won't be any more, God forbid, anything to be sad about. Okay, that sounds like his introduction to this piece. But in any case, he goes back to explaining the notion and the idea of who the Edomites are. He says that the sages, and again, I didn't learn this well enough that I should be able to quote it with you, to you directly, by heart, without reading it. But I'm not going to read it from inside because it's very long. I'm just going to be looking inside and kind of giving you the gist of what he says, because I think it's very important and really interesting. And here is the question, here is the idea. He says the rabbis have always said in the Talmud and in the Medrash, and there's no one arguing that the sages say that the Romans come from one of the descendants of Esav, who's called Magdiel, Aluf Magdiel. It gives all the chiefs of Edom, descendants of Esav. And one of them is Aluf Magdiel. And the sages say it's Rome. Rashi brings it, and so it is in all the places. And it also says, when Isaac, Yitzchak, blessed Esav with a blessing, it says, from the fat of the land should be your seat. You should live in the fatty part of the world. So he says that's Italy. Italia shel Yavon. Italy, which really is part of the Greek, of the Yavon, world. He gave it to Esav. So here you immediately see already some kind of a contradiction, because it calls it the Italy of the Greeks, but yet it's a blessing to Esav. And then he brings another place that it's the Romans from different places of the sages. Then when it speaks about the end of days, that there is a destruction of Edom, it's referring to Rome. Now let's understand, I don't think that it means that it is going to have a physical destruction. Again, I can't tell you for sure. But what I think it means is a rehabilitation and a transformation. What is going to happen, we'll leave it up to God to decide how this is all going to play out. Prophecies do speak about great destruction, but I don't think, from different sources that I'm not going to quote right now, it seems to imply that we're not dealing with a physical destruction, but rather a reconfiguration, if we can say. Now let's understand this. He brings from many, many of these places. He says, "Rabim b'devrayim le'ein mispar, without a number." It was accepted and clear to our sages that Rome and the entire Italian peninsula was all settled with the descendants of Edom. Now he brings that even the Christian tradition, those that are translating the Bible, those that give commentary to the Bible, he brings a fellow by the name of Nikolai, who is a great commentator. When it comes to Magdiel in the Chumash, Aluf Edom, as we said earlier, he's a chief of Edom, which he says clearly that it's the Romans that came from them. But this is the way he translates. There is a prophecy of Avadia. Now, he doesn't want to say God, he doesn't want to predict destruction on the Romans and on the Christian world. But what does he say? In Avadia, there is a last prophecy all the way in the end of the book of Avadia. It's only one chapter. It says, Va'olu Moshiyim Bahar Tzion, those that were saved will go up on the mountain of Zion of Har Tzion, Lishpoit Esar Esav, to judge the mountain of Esav. So he says that their explanation from this is not a Jewish interpretation. He says is Moshiyim is referring to Yeshu, the one that they believe as the Savior and as the Mashiach. He's going to go up to Mount Esav, means that he, and not himself, but his students, are going to go up to the mountain of Esav, which is Rome. And because, as we said before, the Romans are the descendants of Esav, and over there, Lishpot, and to bring them to their true faith, which is, in his interpretation, Christianity. And then, Vahosel Hashem Amlucha, that's going to be God's kingdom. In other words, with the fulfillment of the transformation and bringing Rome under the Christian faith, that is already the kingdom of God. That's in a sense the coming of the Messiah. That's his interpretation. But you see, he says that they too agree that Rome was always considered as a descendant of Esau. He says, however, there was a Jewish man whose name was Shlomo HaLevi, and later he was baptized and he became a big writer amongst the Christians, and he gives us his it's in Hebrew, so it's hard for me to know what his name is. He gives his name Agmon Bergnish. I can't pronounce it correctly, where this Jewish convert to Christianity. And he went and he wrote a whole thing to oppose this idea, because he wanted to escape the prophecies of Isaiah and Avadia and Jeremiah and Yirmiyahu that describes the destruction of Edom. And he basically writes like this, that the Jewish sages, because they had such hatred to the Christians, they made it up in their own hearts, and they have nothing to base it on, he says. And he gave all kinds of proofs that Rome is not the descendants of Edom. And basically, our Barbanel says, the truth is, I can make his argument stronger. He doesn't argue it as well as I can argue it. And let me argue for him, he says. If we're going to say Edom is Rome, is Edom, then it should be for one of three reasons. Either the land itself is the land of Edom, the geographic land, location is the land of it. Or we're going to say it's the people, the descendants, the physical descendants of Edom, even though they're not, they somehow ended up in Italy. Or the third option would be that it's their, they carry the Edomite tradition, their religion, their philosophy, their ideology, and that's why we say for one of these reasons we can associate the Roman Empire to Edom, or the Christian faith to Edom. So he says, but the problem with that, so he says, but if you analyze, you see that none of these are true. He says, if we're talking about the land of Edom, you see from many Torah sources, is right next to the land of Israel. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt and they were going towards the land of Israel, it says they circled around the land of Edom. They didn't pass it. God said, I'm not giving you this land, a Yerusha. So, and it also says earlier in the Torah that when Yaakov and Esav, they had so much cattle, the land could not support them both. So Esav picked himself up and he left with his families and he moved to the land of Seir, which is the land of Edom. So that's not far from the land of Israel. He brings later, in the days of David and Shlomo, they subdued the Edomites. Edoms didn't have a king, and they only reestablished their kingdom in the days of Yehoram because he was misbehaving. So therefore, it brought a curse amongst the Jewish people that Edom got power again. But you're dealing with a neighboring country to the land of Israel. And even in the days of the Hashmonite kingdom, Hashmonaim, it says, Josephus writes, that the Hashmonaim ruled over the Edomites and had them circumcised. And even more than that, when Aspasianus, who was Aspasian, and Titus, and came to fight and destroy the temple, the Edomites actually joined the Jerusalem inhabitants to fight off the Romans. So they are not the Romans. There is an Edom. The geographic location of Edom is next door. He says that land is in Asia and Rome is in Europe, which is very, very far from it. And therefore, it's not the land of Edom. If you're going to look at family, he says, another, you also have a big problem. Edom, Esav, is a Semite. He comes from Avram, comes from Yitzchak, who's son of Avram, from Abraham, who traces his roots back to Shem. The people that lived in Italy, they're all coming from Yavan, who is the descendants of Yefes, the other brother of Noah, another son of Noah. And he brings the pasuk. It says the sons of Yefes are Goimer, Magog, Moda, Yavan, Tuval, Meshech, Tiros. And the children of Yavan are Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dedanim. And he says, Kittim, they are the Romans, and all the people of Italy. And he proves it from different places. So it comes out that they're from a complete different lineage. They're complete different people. So you can't say it's the descendants of them. If we're going to say it's they had the religion, they carried over the religion of the Edomites, he says, you can't see that either, because the Edomites were Canaanim, and they had their pagan culture. The Romans and the Christians did not draw after their emunah at all, after their faith and after their belief at all. Not in their belief system and not in their actions. So all of this seems to be a proof that the Romans and then later the Christians are not the original Edomites. But he says, that does not in any way prove, even though it's a good question, he says, I have to deal with it. He says, but this person who wrote this, he has a big chutzpah. He says to contradict that which is stated amongst our prophets. And he actually goes so far, this is what he wants to say. He wants to say that this Jewish renegade, who is questioning this whole notion and rejects this whole notion, and he says the Jewish people made it up. He says he wants to even say like this, that all the prophecies that describe doom and gloom against Edom, it's actually referring to the Jewish people. He says because when the Jewish people started misbehaving, God calls them now Esav. Esav Yaakov is the beloved one, and Esav was the one that was rejected. As long as the Jewish people were behaving, they were the beloved one. And once they started misbehaving, so now Hashem refers to them as the Bnei Esav. And he goes so far and he says, it's because the rabbinic tradition that didn't accept Christianity, he says, they were a lot led by one of the great sages, Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir comes from converts. His father or grandfather was a convert and was an Edomite. So because the Jewish people have a Rebbe Meir, who was considered one of the greatest sages, and from him comes the students who later are very, very much the rabbinic Judaism. Oh, so that is a sign, and that's why, and therefore they're called Esav, and that's why all the prophecies against Esav are against the Jewish people, the destruction of the Jewish people. That was this person's idea. Any case, the Abarbanel is going to refute him very, very strongly. And he says, you know, he would have done much better, this is what Abarbanel says. If he wants to argue that it's not, that he wants to say that the Romans are not the children of Esav, he could have argued better and say that who is Esav, the neighbors of Israel. To go and put it on the Jewish people, he says, is just simply out of pure hatred. So in order to figure this out, he just gives him an interesting idea. He's basically saying that I checked everywhere. I see the Ramban, the Ran, Reb David Kimchi, who's known as the Radak. They all say that the Romans are the children of Edom. And they received the teaching of Christianity from a priest from Edom. So he was the one. That's why they're called. In other words, they had one of an Edomite priest who somehow brought over the teachings into Rome. And since the Edomites held on to his das, therefore, and as we're going to see soon, he says also that he's going to bring later, that there is a nation, Edom, that lives, as we said earlier, right next to the borders of the land of Israel. They were the ones who were the first Yeshu and his people were exiled from Israel. They went to Edom, and the Edomites were the first ones to accept their religion. And from there, one of their members ended up carrying it to Rome. And therefore, they're all called Rome. That's what they explain. But the Abarbanel says he wants to further explain this and develop this idea. So his main idea is a very interesting thing. He brings that, of course, initially Italy is the land of the Yavan. As we said before, they were the Kittim. They were the ones who lived there first. This is in the time of the days of the Mabul, and afterwards where people lived in different places. But after a long, long period of time, the Edom, many people from Edom migrated and came to Rome. And actually they were the ones who established the kingdom over there. And he brings this from Josephus, that he says as follows. That when Yaakov, our grandfather Yaakov, passed away, Jacob died, and the brothers, Joseph, who was then the viceroy of Egypt, was commanded by his father to take his bones up to the land of Israel. He took Yaakov, he should take Yaakov and bury him. Bones, he says about himself, because he was only buried much later, but Yaakov says to take him and bury him in the land of Israel. When they came up, it says that Esav and his children came to fight Yaakov, because he didn't want him to be buried in that very special burial site of his father. they tried to stop him and the whole thing, and there was some kind of a skirmish. We know that Esav himself was killed. Esav had his grandson along with him. The Alufei Esav came to fight. Yosef overpowered them, and he took captives. One of the people he took captives, his name was Tzifoi, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav, the grandson of Esav. And he brought him and some of his guys, some of his men. They brought him back to Egypt. Tzfo and his people escaped, or at least, and they came to Africa, to Agnias, who was the king of Carthagin. I don't know what that is. Anyways, they received Tzfo, because he was a real warrior and a renowned warrior. They received him with great honor. They made him their general and their army. And Tzfo fought many wars against the inhabitants of Italy, who were then the Kittim, because they were enemies with the Africa, with these people from Carthagina. Again, I'm going to have to look this up. What is this referring to? What we would know today? Good. He was their general, and for whatever reason, afterwards, Tzfo escaped. And he came to the land of the Kittim, the very nation that he was fighting with. He came to their country. They received him with great joy, because they saw that he was a Hevraman. And they appointed him as to be their military head, as their general. And he fought with the armies of Africa, those very armies that he once led in battle. And he conquered many of them. And then when they saw that he's so successful and all of his strength, they made him king. And they called him Tzfoi Ganus. Tzfoi was his name. They called him Ganus because they named him after the star Shabtai, which they served in those days, which they felt that he had that power. He was king over these Kittim, which are, again, the descendants of the Greek, they were related to Yavon, for 50 years. He was the first king that ruled in Italy. He was the one who built Ginuba, I don't know what that is, and they called it on his name. Anyways, and he brings... There were many kings afterwards from his descendants. And one of their descendants was Magdiel, who really is the first who begins the Roman settlement before Romulo, he calls him, that later built up the walls. So he says, see, here are the source from the words of Josephus, that in the land of Kittim, there were kings from Edom. And there's no doubt, he says, that once there were already many Edomites kings, it drew citizens from Edom, from the land of Edom, to come live there. And they became very, very, very numerous, and they filled the land of Italy. And this is where Rome got built up from. And he brings in history books of the Romans as well that there is this fellow by the name of Ganus, and that he was the first king of Rome. And they called him the father of the gods. Then he brings another interesting proof. He says... they write, I guess, in Christian literature, that Ganus came to Italy 1,500 years before the birth of Yeshua. So if you do that count, he says, it actually comes out, if you count when he was born, it comes out that he came to actually the land of Israel 6 years after Jacob passed away. And would make perfect sense, because he was first taken to captivity by Joseph. He ran to help the Africans, and then he finally came over there. So that would established that it was that he appeared 6 years later. So you're talking about a grandson of Esav to be the first king of Edom, first king of Rome. Then he brings another thing, Latunus, who was also one of the kings of Italy, and for him comes the Latin language. He's also, it says, one of the chiefs of Esav, Aluf Lutan. Aluf Lutan is the same word as Latin. This is, and therefore he says, I've presented this to you, so you should know that our fathers, they're saying truth, and there's no mistakes. And this is what Yitzchak told the children of Esav, that you're going to get Italy. So even though he says Italy was first from the Bnei Yavon, it became already the land of Edom. But then he brings one more interesting thing. If you're looking about it and regarding its faith and its belief system, he says that it's fitting to call the Christians the children of Edom, because many nations are called, the prophets call them according to their actions. Like the Jewish people sometimes are referred to as the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, even though they're not the same family, they're from the Canaanim, because they behaved like them at certain points, and that's why they were called with that name. So he says there is some relationship between the Romans to be the descendants of Esav, and he gives a few parallels. Not the Romans, I'm sorry. The Christian faith. He says, number one, just like Esav and Yaakov are both partners because of their father and their belief. Esav believed in one God. Later, we learned last week, he rejected him, but so is the belief of the Christians and the Jewish people. They have a certain common element because they both believe in the God of gods, which means they both believe in a God, an invisible being. And they all agree to the first cause, and they turn to him, and they don't believe in any of to make a god out of the stars or whatever it is. And they also have one Torah, because they also believe in the Old Testament, which is the Bible, so they believe in that. They accepted Moshe's Torah as a Torah of truth. So there you have, that's why Yaakov and Esav, that's why the Christian faith, similar to the Jewish faith. Second one is that Esav, all of his life, served his father, but with deception. Like the verse says, there is deception in his mouth. Yaakov was sincere. Person stayed in the tents. He says the nations of the world and their belief system are serving Hashem with a deception and not with truth. The Jewish people cleave to their God, Davuk Amiti, a Dibuk Amiti, and a true connection. Bemuna Yashara in a complete faith. The third one, Esav took wives from the children of Canaan, Chiti, Chivi, the Chitim, the Chivim, also the daughters of Yishmael, and they were rebellious to Isaac and to Rivka. So too in the Romans, there was a tremendous mixture of women. And as they mixed in the Ammonites, Moabites, Hittites, Arab or girls, and other nations. And they angered God in the way the lifestyle in Rome was. But Yaakov, the Jewish people, took their wives only from within themselves. There wasn't an assimilation. And the fourth connection, he says, just like Esav and Yaakov. So Esav had a lot of the material blessing, but Yaakov took the more spiritual element of things. He took the blessing on the spiritual side, and he took the firstborn. So too, he says, the Jewish people remained connected on a very spiritual plane and to the higher spiritual blessing. He says the Christians did not receive from God, but they did receive physical power and physical wealth, but not the spiritual blessing, the soul blessing. The fifth connection is, just like Esav hated Yaakov and he always wanted to kill him, so too the Romans, and they were the ones who destroyed the temple. And Rome became filled, as we said before, in Italy from the children of Edom. They were their kings. And he brings that even their Nikolai, as we mentioned earlier, who is their great commentator. Again, I'm not familiar with this, but I'm just quoting to you what he says. Writes that since Esau was such a hater of Jacob, therefore he writes, all those who hate the Jewish people were called Esav and Edom. And therefore the Abarbanel says, what else do I have to say? But now he adds something really fascinating. This is what caught me my attention anyways. He says, from a more Kabbalistic perspective, he says that Esav came into a reincarnation. Esav himself was reincarnated in Yeshu. And that's why he used to go out into the fields a lot, a man of the field. And he was a man of strife, who fought with the sages. And therefore, it could be the reason why he's called Yeshu, because it's the same letters as Esav. It's the same person. And that's why all those who hold on to his faith and serve him are also worthy to be called B'nai Edom. And so he adds more of a spiritual dimension to it. Because Yeshu is Esav, and Esav is Edom. And in Rome was the beginning of this religion. And the first kings of the were the ones who received them in Rome. And therefore, all the Christians who believe in him, these are called B'nai Edom, B'nai Esav. This is his idea. In any case, just important. And so when we're looking at the messianic prophecies that talk about the demise of Edom, it's important to know who's what is referring to Edom. I just found this to be a very interesting idea. In any case, I once had discussed that if the Western world, the world of the West is all influenced by Christianity, which is all a translation of Esav, that it does say that there is a certain part of Esav that gets elevated before Mashiach comes. And let's hope that that's the United States of America. And later, as we see, it becomes an alloy of holiness. So we should merit already that on this Sukkot, we should see already the full and complete redemption. I'm sorry, I was a little, I was lacking fluency today, because I just read this mamish 20 minutes before I gave the class, so I haven't had a chance to really look it up, digest this, and understand it, but I didn't want to cancel the class. In any case, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to reconvene, not next week, it's Sukkot, but the following week, Be'ezrat Hashem. So we'll have 1 week off, and then we will continue with our Mashiach class. Everyone be well.